You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. That is Paul McCartney and Wings, and listen to what the man said, and Billy Joel, and It's My Life, talking about the man, well, I suppose.
And your life.
And yeah.
And the best of life.
Yes, and life, love, and chop suey.
Chop suey today, is it?
Chicken, okay. Chicken chow mein.
Is it chicken chow mein today?
It could be. It could be anything you want it to be.
Well, every Wednesday it's different. You don't stick to the script here.
I don't, eh?
What it's the best of love, life, and fruit salad. Fruit salad meaning everything else other than all of that stuff mixed in. It was your idea, and now you're off on a gourmet tangent all around the world. I don't know what's wrong with you.
You're not doing too much to nurture this relationship, are you?
No, I'm destroying it first, and then I'm going to nurture it.
Okay, because that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Hello, Jeffrey Ernest Kahn.
The unicorn. Good afternoon.
It's lovely to see you. And I look forward to the next 40 minutes with anticipation.
It's a time warp.
Yeah. How the hell are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm not great.
You got the
lurgy? I've got, I'm just a little bit at the tail end of it, and hoping that it now will go away.
A lot of people.
I thought maybe if I exposed it to you, it would think, oh, go, now I must run. Yeah, but no, it's still here.
Look, you exposing anything is a bit of a problem.
Yeah, but I believe you weren't well yesterday either.
No, I wasn't. I was down, man down. Yeah, man down, but man up again today.
Is it?
Yeah, out of bed, I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. Oh. Well, it is lovely to see you. Best of life, love, and a fruit salad is what it is. There we go. You see, I do know this.
Now you're nurturing a relationship.
Yeah, now we know. Oh, my word.
Yeah, I know. It's bad for
you. But I looked at your notes, because you come in here with like a thesis every week that I've got to now work my way through.
No, you don't. Just listen to the podcast.
Okay. All right. And it says, how to nurture great relationships, romantic, family, and workplace. And then the first paragraph says, how to destroy relationships, romantic, family, and work. I mean, where are we going with this?
Yeah. I knew you'd pick up on that. You're actually quite bright most of the time. You know, we all know how to destroy relationships. That's... I mean, what they say is when you end up in life and you end up with three or four mates, you've done exceptionally well. Okay?
Yes.
And that's the truth.
That is the truth.
Because we go along life and we have these relationships. We destroy them here and there, and we destroy all kinds of things. So I just wanted to highlight the fact that we are very, very good at destroying relationships, but not sometimes so good at nurturing them. So, so I wanted to look at how we destroy them and then concentrate the rest of the time that I have to talk about how to nurture them, how to not destroy them, because we're all champions at destroying stuff, all of us, every single one of us. And I want to look not only at relationships, in romantic relationships, I want to look at the family relationship, and I want to look at the work relationship.
Yeah, because they're different kinds of relationships.
Yeah, and you can mess up stuff wherever. And people mess up stuff at work and all that kind of stuff, as well as in the family, as well as the romantic stuff. So let's see what people do to mess it up first. Okay, first of all, they break the trust. Okay, trust broken, that's a thing. You lie, you cheat. You betray confidences in the family, or there's favoritism in the family, or you neglect your responsibilities and all that kind of stuff. And at work, you gossip or you backstab somebody. That's a bad guy, or that's a this. And you take credit for other people's work, or breach confidentiality.
There we go. Big word.
Spit
it out. Spit it out, Jeff. There we go.
So poor communication is what's happening. But that happens as well when you destroy stuff. You're not talking. We've spoken for many, many years on relationships, and everything. The one word that comes up is
communication.
Okay. So that's the catalyst to everything. Mm. So if you shout or you yell at people, or you shut down emotionally, or you're passive aggressive, or you're ghosting, or you're stonewalling somebody, or give one word replies, you're not communicating well with that person. You disrespect, you criticize, you're selfish, or controlling in a relationship, controlling, narcissism, that kind of stuff, neglect or lack of effort, avoiding accountability, jealousies, and withholding affection, or support. Inconsistency and unreliability is a big one where we mess things up as well. And then, of course, toxic patterns over time, ignoring warning signals and repeating the same damaging behaviors despite being confronted by them and saying, stop doing that. I don't like it when you do that. Ma, don't care. Okay. And so you fail to learn from previous relationships and previous mistakes. So that's how we destroy. Okay, so let's put that aside today. We're not going to talk about destroying anymore.
It can almost be effortless.
It's we are springboks at that. we are springboks. So let's look at what's the more difficult side is how to nurture and to look after and to love and to cherish and have these wonderful relationships with people. We've spoken about good friendships before, but let's look at three areas: romantic relationships, family relationships, and work relationships, because we have all of them. Okay. So how do we nurture this romantic relationship? First of all, we've got to prioritize emotional safety. This is a huge thing. Okay. Where both partners feel seen, heard, and safe. Now that word safe is very important. You need to be able to be seen. You need to be able to be heard. And if you're feeling safe enough to say what you feel, that's even better, because then the communication gets better, right? So you're allowed to express your emotions without judgment. And sometimes very, very difficult in a relationship. And use I statements instead of blame. I feel unheard, Richard, when you talk to me like that, okay? Instead of, Richard, you never listen. Okay, it's a different thing. Okay, invest time intentionally. So quality time isn't being in the same room. You can be in the same room with someone and be 300,000 miles away from them. It's not the same thing, okay? It's being present together. It's being connected and working on that connection. You know, talking about the movie you're watching or talking about a book or the day that you had or whatever it was. You know, you have to build rituals, have a weekly date night, you have a morning coffee chat, you have a gratitude check. When last did you go to your spouse and say, listen, you know, whatever you do, the way you do things around the home, I just love it. You know, you're just brilliant. Or when I'm sick, you always look after me so well. Thank you for that. We don't do that. And we need to be a little bit more cognitive of saying thank you and being in gratitude with our partner. It goes a long way. It costs nothing. I promise you, it costs nothing. So if you're in your car and you're getting home and you go to your wife tonight, and you say to her, listen, you know, that meal you made last night was absolutely brilliant. You know, and thank you for that. And walk away and go and have your time. It just does something. You know, it just does something. Communicate with curiosity, not assumption. So you can replace, why did you do that? With, help me understand your thinking. You know, let me understand what you were thinking about. Okay. And practice active listening. You know, a lot of us are so busy wanting to talk before the other person said what they want to say. We don't keep quiet. We so want to say our point, we don't listen. Okay, so we need to listen as well. So in a romantic relationship, healthy relationships don't mean joined at the hip. You don't have to be with each other all the time. In fact, sometimes it's good to not be with each other all the time. But it does mean supporting each other's growth, supporting in somebody doing a project or building something or in their business or whatever it is, and celebrate the differences. If one of you is really good at sport and the other one isn't, it's fine. The other one might be good at cooking and the other one might be good at road running. And you know, you've got to support each other. Don't try and erase that or make it smaller. Conflict is a big one as well. So we need to resolve conflict gracefully, and that is easier said than done when you're in the zone, okay? Not zone radio. When you're in the zone and you are angry or whatever it is, and you're building up this anger, address the issues early. Don't. Some people want to leave it for a while to cool down. Some people want to get it over with straight away. It's different, but you need to understand your partner, and you need to try and work, and they need to understand you at the same time. Resentment builds in silence. So you start resenting somebody, and our resentment sort of is like the atheroma plaque of the body, it sticks and it stays and it builds slowly and then all of a sudden causes a heart attack. So just resentment, be careful of that. Focus on the issue and not the person. There's another little hint. Stay away from personal attacks. And that can be really nasty, okay? So don't be nasty. Just get the issue sorted out. Be willing to grow together, okay? That's another one. Resolve. Relationships evolve. They get better and better and better, and you work on that. And what worked last year with your relationship might not work now. You know, you're busy doing something different. Check in. How can we love each other better this season? I always said, how can I make your life better today? Okay, that's a lovely question to ask your partner. Protect your intimacy, physical, emotional, and spiritual intimacy. It needs intentional investment. Okay, you need to make time for that. Turn off the screens, look into each other's eyes, and be vulnerable. Okay, not all the time or while you're driving. Okay, but in your home, you can do this. Support each other's purpose. Be the other one's number one fan. And that's an easy thing to think about. I'm your number one fan. I think you're brilliant. You know, you didn't maybe do that so well, but it doesn't matter. Your other things are great. I'm your number one fan. I've got your back. Don't be silent observers. Tell them. Encourage the dreams and show up for the wins and offer reassurance when somebody has a loss or is struggling with something. The other thing is keep humor alive. Have to try and keep humor alive in the relationship. Laughter softens the tension. It creates joy. Okay, that's why stand-up comedy does so well in this country. There are music and stand-up comedy. Those two things make people joyless and make you feel good. So go where you feel good. Don't underestimate little silly jokes. Okay, silly little dances, silly little things people do. And shared memes that you're sending to each other from the phone. Look at this funny dog, and look at that. That's a small little thing, but let me tell you, it's sharing humor. Forgive frequently. If you disappoint each other, which will happen, is normal. Forgiveness is a daily decision. It's not a one-time act. And let go of keeping score. That's another thing, okay? And know the difference between reacting and responding. Now, if you react to somebody, It's emotional and impulsive. If you respond, it's thoughtful and respectful. So they're two different things, but they're both nurturing the communication. And take a breath before you speak, especially in conflict. Breathe. Try and take a breath, okay, because it makes a huge difference to what comes out and the way it comes out. Sometimes it's not what you say, but it's the way you say it. Okay, so create shared goals and visions, you know, you discuss values and dreams and your finances and long-term plans, you know, long-term holidays that you're going to have together and things that you're doing and projects that you're doing with your business or whatever it is. Balance giving and receiving, you know, healthy relationship, Richard, isn't a 50-50 every day. It's not. It's giving what you can when your partner needs it most and trusting they'll do the same, not demanding it. Not waiting for it to come, but trusting that they'll do the same. And if you trust your partner to do things, that relationship goes to a completely different level. Maintain your own identity. Keep your passions and friendships and purpose in life. You're a partner, not a shadow. Okay, so you need to have your own things going on. You need to have your own dependence going on and your own way, and then be happy to come home again or get together with your partner again whenever you can. Practice presence and not just proximity. If you're in the room, be with that person. Give them a hug or engage with them or look in the eyes and be with somebody. Undivided attention and genuine interest is something that builds intimacy. Okay, so that's on the relationship side. Let's look at family stuff. Lead with empathy. Not expectation, okay, especially across the generations. You've got a 6-year-old in the house, a 12-year-old, and an 18-year-old maybe or something, and they're all in a different phase of their life, and we need to recognize their values and their pressures in life and understand it. And if you don't understand it, sit down with them and let them explain. So seek to understand before offering advice. Can't offer advice if you don't know what the hell's going on, okay? got to practice boundaries in families as well, with absolute love, of course. I watched a program yesterday on Netflix. It's called Trainwreck. It's about Astro. They did a concert there. There was a rapper. And they had a terrible thing. They had people that were squashed and crushed and died. Eight died in this concert. And the youngest was 11 years old or 8 years old or something stupid. How do you let your kid go off to a concert like that at 8 years old? I don't understand. Even if it's the older brother. So, you know, you need to set boundaries, but it's with love. Go out at night, but you be home at 11. Whatever it is. Okay. Rituals and connection are important. Simple things matter. Sunday dinners matter. Shared chores, gardening together, birthday traditions. If it's mom's birthday, we take her out. Okay. She gets her presents in the morning. She gets calls during the day, and at night we go for dinner somewhere quiet, but we go for dinner, okay? Busy lives, but structure these opportunities for intimacy as well in the family. In the family, address old wounds. Easier said than done once again, okay? Silence doesn't heal, it hides it. So, you know, keep an open space for a gentle, non-accusatory conversation if the past is hurting somebody. Show appreciation. It's important. Know and respect your family roles. You know, you've got to recognize shifting dynamics. Sometimes a parent becomes a dependent. A sibling starts stepping up, you know. The roles change. And you know, discuss that to avoid the resentment. Stay in touch, even in small little ways. A simple call. I know my kids are many, many miles away. They're in America. And my son phones me at least once a week, even if it's a message I get from my daughter in California, just to say, hi, Dad, love you, and it's fine. You know, it's all I need. But it's that consistency of those messages over long distance that makes a huge difference. Create space for each person's voice. In the family decision, invite input from everyone, okay, even the kids. Sometimes you can learn so much from your kids. It's absolutely scary. Or the quieter members. Sometimes they're quieter members as well. Practice mutual respect across age or status. It doesn't matter if the guy is 6 years old. Let him have his peace, okay? Embrace differences in personality. We all have differences. We have social style differences. Some of us are amiable. Some of us are driver. Some of us are analytical. Some of us are very expressive. So everybody's different, so, and their love languages as well for each person. You know, breaking cycles of dysfunction by acknowledging what needs to change is very important. That conversation, just having that conversation is very important and building that space. So we have to choose growth over generational guilt. Okay, the Jewish people know what I'm talking about. Guilt, family guilt. Not money, it's feeling guilty about stuff, feeling guilty that your folks aren't doing so well, or they're not well, or they're struggling at the moment, and you're feeling guilty because, you know, your family's doing okay, but your mom and dad aren't doing so great, and you're feeling a bit guilty about that. So these are all real-life situations. Accept what you can't change. Some relatives may never become who you want them to be. Never. Okay, so it doesn't matter. But love doesn't always require approval. Okay, but it does require peace. So set up a peace between you. Show up in times of transition, in birth, death, illness, graduation, marriage, divorce. These are all times when family is going through more than they can handle generally, and being overwhelmed and in crisis. And what happens? People just duck because they just don't know how to handle it. The kids duck. They don't know how to handle this. Mom and dad getting divorced. I don't know how to handle this. I'm out of here. Your friends stay away because, oh, well, they don't know what to say, or they don't know they're friends with both of you. So, oh, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. So, but if you have somebody in a family that's going through a death or a divorce or an illness, you know, just be there. Be there. Just say, listen, I'm here for you, and phone them once a day. How are you doing? Or send a message or whatever, just be there. Celebrate progress, not just perfection. Somebody's doing well, even if it's a kid doing well. All of a sudden, he's got an extra 5% for maths. He was getting 22, he's now getting 27%. He's doing well. You go, Ryan. Okay, whatever it is. But, you know, celebrate the little wins, you know, and that builds confidence in people, whether they're 70 years old or they're 5 years old. It builds that confidence. And hold space for silence. There's got to be a time when you can sit and have some quiet time as well. Okay, so workplace relationships. This is interesting now because we don't think that this really worries too much unless we're the boss. But actually, it does because people spend most of their life either sleeping or at work, right? So you have to, let's look at the workplace. You have to assume positive intent. Misunderstandings in the workplace are very, very common because we don't always know everybody so well. We don't know their lives. We don't know what's going on. Start with the belief that people are trying their best. You have to go in with a positive attitude and clarify before you criticize. So find out that they're not doing so great and find out why they're not doing great. Maybe it's something going on at home. Maybe they're not well. Maybe they've been diagnosed. Maybe they, you know, the other day somebody came to me and their kid was involved in drugs. And he's been for the last 3 weeks, one of my colleagues, worrying about this poor kid that has to go to rehab and all that kind of stuff. And he hasn't done his work properly. But you can't shout at somebody for not doing their work properly or criticize them, not understanding what's going on in the backstory. Okay? Give feedback with respect and clarity. So there's an SBI model. It's called the Situation Behavior Impact. So in other words, in yesterday's meeting, Richard, that was the situation. When you interrupted, that was the behavior. It made me feel terrible, made me feel dismissed and unimportant. Okay, so you might want to say that to somebody, to your boss, okay? You have to balance your feedback with areas for growth. So what I used to do with my guys a lot is take a piece of paper, and this is brilliant. You can do this at home with the kids. You can do it with your husband. You can do it with 25 staff in a boardroom, okay? Get a piece of paper, and you break it up into three. You draw two lines. You break it up into a third on each space. So the top heading of the first space, you put there, stop doing. The second heading, you put carry on doing. And the third heading, you write start doing. Okay, now if you're in a group and you've got a group of people at work and nobody really wants to say the boss is being a bit of a, you know, you don't want to say that because you might get fired or it's uncomfortable. But when you do this, you can do it. So you've got this piece of paper, you've got three headings on the paper with space beneath each of them. Stop doing, carry on doing, and start doing. And then you write your name at the top and you pass it to your right. You pass it to your right. Now, there may be 15 or 10 people in your organization. You just pass it to your right. Now, somebody says there, oh, it's Jeff Kahn. Oh, okay, stop doing. Stop coming in late every day. Carry on with the training programs and start doing some more training programs in different areas. You can do anything. Richard. Okay, Richard's paper comes across, and the next guy passes it on to the next guy. And if the guy next to you agrees, Jeff comes in late all the time, he ticks it. He makes a tick next to that comment. So there's no real writing. By the time it goes around the table, you've got the best feedback you've ever had from your people in that organization. And it's honest feedback. It's not – and it's constructive feedback because it's telling you what you're doing that's hurting. It's telling you what you're doing fantastically well. And if you could just start doing this, it would be great for all of us. Okay. So that is a wonderful exercise to do. Okay. So be reliable and accountable. Celebrate others' wins. Okay. Even if they, you know, just the cleaner. Doesn't matter. Great job. Or, geez, the window looks amazing today. You'll be amazed what it does for that person because they're doing their job the best they can. Stay professionally curious. In other words, ask questions, invite ideas, and encourage open discussion. You're amazed what one idea can trigger another idea when you're trying to build a business or you're trying to build something there. People also want to be valued, not for just for their input, but for their insight. They might have a great idea, so don't gossip about it. You know, practice emotional intelligence at work, you know, just body tone, body language, the tone of somebody's talk, timing, not just what he's saying or the person's saying. Self-awareness and empathy makes great collaborators. It's better than raw intelligence, I promise you. Be inclusive and aware of power dynamics, okay? Make space for quieter people. There's always the one guy or the one lady or whatever. They're always overbearing at a meeting, and you need to be able to make a space for that quiet person that sits in the corner that has a really good idea. It doesn't say much, but when they talk, you know, something reasonable comes out their mouth, and it's always valuable. So acknowledge privilege or bias when appropriate. Okay, resolve tension early. Get it out the way. Don't let conflict fester. That's very, very nasty, because it just triggers everything else, and it triggers people talking behind people's backs. And just address it respectfully, one-on-one if you can. Don't do it in front of a whole crowd of people. But when you are saying somebody's done something really good, do it in front of everybody if you can. Okay, so mentor and allow to be mentored as well. Okay, even if the boss, you know, who motivates the motivator. So build a culture of growth in your business. Share what you know and stay open to learning from others, regardless of their age and their position. Very important. Few last ones. Respect the boundaries around time. You know, respect work-life boundaries, people's boundaries. Don't phone your secretary at 9 o'clock at night unless it's really urgent. It's, you know, they got their own families to look after and stuff. Don't compete, collaborate. So if you are in a team, you don't have to compete with everybody in the team. Just collaborate with everybody. Do your thing. Express gratitude publicly and correct people privately, as I said earlier. And then model what you expect. Be the person that you want the other person to be. What does this thing say? It says, be the person your dog thinks you are. Okay. Okay, and create psychological safety. Create a safe place in that work environment. And that goes for home, and it goes for family as well. And that's kind of it, Richard. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there in a short space of time. But if somebody can pick up something, these are ways of nurturing relationships instead of destroying them.
Yeah, I think the important thing there, Jeff, is that there are three different categories, and how you approach them are not too dissimilar, but there are idiosyncrasies in each.
Of course.
You wouldn't go and manage your child the way you would a relationship with a work colleague. Yeah. But throughout all of that, there are a couple of key words that do come into play. One of them is one we've spoken about over and over again, and that is communication. And the other is respect.
Two big words, huh?
Two big words. But you cannot be respectful if you don't have self-respect.
Sure.
And I think that's important to look.
That's a good point.
Before you go into these things, look at yourself and say, how equipped am I to nurture a relationship?
Yeah.
And maybe the work starts there.
It does start there. It's not maybe.
Yeah.
It's not maybe. You get it right on the head there. It's yeah.
The work. You got to work on yourself before you can work on the others. And I think that this is valuable information. It really is. Well, there you go. That's another.
It's another.
Yeah.
Piece of fruit salad.
No. Are you going home to get back into your bed?
No, I'm going home. I'm going home now. I have to go out tonight.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a bit of a, I shouldn't say it like that, because it's a privilege to be able to go out and, you know, go for dinner with people and stuff. But it's a school night, and you know how it goes. Yeah.
All right, we'll have a great time. I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but it looks like there is some rain on the way.
It's okay.
Just drive carefully.
Thank you, Rich, and I hope you feel better in the next couple of days.
Yeah, so do I. I think that we're getting through it, and I hope that it's certainly I'm giving it to the end of the week. Otherwise,
you're not going to not participate in this thing anymore.
This thing's not paying rent, it will go. You know what I mean?
Firing it.
Yeah, okay. Firing it.
All right, Richie. Thanks very much, and have a good one. Get well soon.
Take care, Jeff. See you in 2 weeks' time.
Cheers, everybody.